For us this morning, God has something a little bit different, along a little different line for as far as styles for my teaching, but I think you'll enjoy it. I think we're going to take a look at faith, but I want to look at it in kind of a different angle, looking at it from the faith of one guy and relating that to each one of us and kind of how we relate and how faith is a part of our life every day, just like it was for this man. And he had an encounter with Christ. Zacchaeus is his name. And he had an encounter with Christ that changed his life for an eternity. But, amen. Before we get into that, let's start with some prayer this morning. Amen. Father, we are praising you in the name of Jesus. You're the Son of God. You are our Lord and our Savior. Father, we are grateful to be here with your people and your presence. And I pray that as we go through your word this morning, as we open it up and begin to eat it up, Lord, that it will be that nourishment that we need for the life that we're living, as you have called us to live out our life as a believer, as a Christian, following after Jesus, that, Lord, today will be a day that we gain understanding and how to do that, and that our faith is built, Lord, that we are encouraged in our relationship with you, and that we grow and prosper and just entreat it into our lives so that it changes us a little bit more from the inside out, Lord, that we are, as we've been made in your image, that we are formed into that image in the outside as well, Lord. We're praising you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 So, faith like Zacchaeus is the title. And I want to talk about faith from kind of a little different angle by talking about this journey of a man named Zacchaeus. Okay, and somebody pointed out already that he was a wee little man, because that was part of the song, that the children's song they came up with related to Zacchaeus. I don't even know it because I didn't grow up that way, but somebody want to sing it for us? Or?
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and the wee little man was he.
Amen, there we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Okay, well, Zacchaeus was one of those guys, and he's popular, obviously, to have a song written about him. But he started out as a lost man. Okay, he was born into the world just like everybody else, and he went a different route. Okay, he was lost, not just living in the world, but he was living for the world. Okay, he was really caught up in it. Okay, his God was himself. Okay, he was building a kingdom. Okay, building his own sort of kingdom by means of extorting his fellow man. Okay, he was not going about it in a very good way. Okay, but deep down inside, just like every human being that has ever set foot on the earth, he had something down in him that yearned for the truth about his purpose in life. He wanted to know what God was really about and what life was really about. He had a lot. Okay, he was known as being very rich. He had a lot, but yet he knew that he was still missing something. Okay, rumors were rumbling throughout the region of a savior, okay, of someone that they were titling the Messiah. Somebody was said to be poised as a leader that could set the people free, and was doing so, setting the people free from sickness and from diseases and from poverty and from oppression. And it triggered Zacchaeus' curiosity, because he also heard that this Savior could deliver you from sin and guilt and condemnation. Okay, he thought for a moment that maybe this Savior could set him free from that sick feeling that he got every time that he extorted money from someone. He was getting rich by making them drop into poverty, okay, sink into poverty. So he was looking for some way to get rid of that feeling that he had. So Zacchaeus thought to himself, if there's even an outside chance, okay, he didn't know much about Jesus, he had heard of him, but he thought, if there's even an outside chance that I could get rid of this guilty feeling, it would be worth it. He thought, I should find out more about the supposed Messiah. I should seek him to have an understanding. Now, this morning I want to read 10 verses out of the book of Luke, chapter 19. That's where the story of Zacchaeus is told. And then I'll go through and want to explain some of the things and how it really, as I read it, I just couldn't help but see things that stood out as, hey, that's my life. That's part of what has gone on in many of our lives as Christian believers. Let's look at Luke 19:1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans," or the tax collectors, "and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the press or the crowd, because he was little of stature." He was a wee little man, right? And verse 4 says, "And he ran before," ahead, "and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation or by extortion, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen, right? Okay, now this passage tells us that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Okay, he was healing the sick. He was teaching the people about God. He was teaching God's ways, ministering to people along the way. And that is a lot like Jesus just entered into this world and passed through your life. Okay, and by that I mean that there was some source in your life. Okay, somebody gave you a Bible, you heard some scripture, maybe your parents drug you to church, okay, took you to hear about God, maybe some friends shared some stories about Jesus and what Jesus had done in their life. Somewhere along the way, you had an encounter with Jesus. Okay, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. Okay, he had heard about the miracles that Jesus had done. Okay, Jesus had, you know, cleansed the lepers and healed people, and Jesus turned water into wine, and the rumors of him raising Lazarus from the dead, and some of these things were passing around. He knew that he had heard some of these stories. Okay, this rich publican, or a tax collector in modern English, had heard that the people were calling Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one, the one that should come to deliver. And Zacchaeus probably even had friends in his circle that he knew of that had begun to follow after Jesus. Then he had seen their life dramatically change. Okay, he had seen something take place by the time they were calling this man Lord or Savior or Teacher. He knew that there was something different about them because their lives began to dramatically change. Okay, their lives took an abrupt turn once they started calling Jesus the chosen one for themselves. Okay, the scriptures here tell us that Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree, okay, so that he could see Jesus. Okay, in other words, that little compulsion that was down inside of Zacchaeus caused him to put himself in a position where he could see Jesus clearly. Okay, just like you have done at this very moment. Okay, you have put yourself in church. Okay, you put yourself, people are tuning in online. People have put themselves in front of that so that they can see and hear about Jesus. You know that the pastor, Pastor Gary, is going to share something about Jesus and about God. You know that I'm going to share some stories about the Messiah. I'm going to tell something about how Jesus impacted the lives of us or other people. Okay, you know that Jesus has done something in your life. Okay, and that he's done something in the lives of the people around you, so you've made a decision to put yourself in a place where you can see Jesus, where you can find out more. Okay, well, that little act of Zacchaeus climbing that tree, okay, that little action of putting himself in a place where he could find out more about Jesus got Jesus' attention. Okay, you ever think of that? Just going to church gets Jesus' attention because it's an act of faith. It's something that you're doing to put yourself in the right place at the right time to hear something more about Jesus. Okay, Zacchaeus put himself in a place to get the attention of Jesus. And Jesus knew instantly that Zacchaeus had faith. Okay, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, and Zacchaeus, just like each one of us, was pursuing that which gave him hope. Okay, he heard of Jesus. He wanted to find out more. We know some about Jesus, but we want to know more. That is our hope that is being activated or put in play because of our faith. See, faith is something that it's more than just something that you keep down in your heart. Okay, faith is more than just an intellectual discernment that, yeah, I've heard of this guy and I believe he did some pretty miraculous things and I'm going to believe on him. It is more than that, intellectual discernment. True faith is something that will put you in motion. Okay, true faith is something that will cause you to step out of your comfort zone. Okay, just like Zacchaeus had to put one foot in front of the other as he ran ahead to get ahead of the crowd. He runs ahead, literally in motion, because he wanted to see Jesus. Okay, you also have put one foot in front of the other, purposefully aiming yourself towards God. You are on track. You're wanting to find out, to know more, to put your place in that right place, put yourself in that right place. See, for Zacchaeus, this was way out of his comfort zone. Okay, for him to even think about being close to the Messiah, the Son of God, he knew who he was. He knew how he made his living. He knew what was happening. That was a huge leap out of his comfort zone. He was well known, even as the scripture Luke describes, he was a sinner. Okay, and all the people, when Jesus said he's going over to his house, they said, how can he do that? He's a sinner, right? Okay, everybody knew that. Just the nature of Zacchaeus' job put him in a particular category in everybody's mind. Okay, he was a tax collector, a publican. Tax collectors in the Roman Empire had to collect a certain amount from the people for the maintenance of the state. And they were permitted also to collect a little extra, okay, and keep the proceeds for themselves. Okay, but tax collectors were hated because their tendency was to abuse that power for their own gain. They would make others very poor to make themselves very rich. Tax collectors were seeped in corruption. Okay, and not only that, but Zacchaeus was extraordinarily rich. He was the chief of the publicans. Okay, that meant that he was very good at extracting more than what was right from the people. Okay, former U.S. President Harry Truman, some of you guys probably heard of him, he is quoted as saying this. He said, show me a man that gets rich by being a politician, and I'll show you a crook. Okay, now that same kind of thought, okay, that thought pattern would apply to that of the first century publican. Okay, it was a way to make a living. But in order to get rich doing it, and very rich, you had to be crooked. You had to be doing things that were corrupt. Okay, one verse that we read about Zacchaeus earlier said that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not because of the press or because of the crowd. Okay, Zacchaeus was probably such that as he's approaching this crowd, he's thinking, how in the world am I going to get close to Jesus? How am I going to get through these people? Because they didn't like him. He was very good at what he did. And he was probably going to get even assaulted. At least insults were going to be hurled at him, if not more. He did not want to go and walk through that crowd and say, excuse me, sorry to bother you. I need to get through. I want to talk to this guy. He wasn't going to do that. Okay, so at this point, he had a problem. He sought to see Jesus. He wanted to know who he was and more about him, but he couldn't because of that crowd. Okay, I think that's true for many of us. I think that we want to, and rightfully so, because we need to see Jesus for ourselves. Okay, we need to have that experience, that moment. And sometimes it's hard to really understand who Jesus is when you're in the midst of a crowd, because you have all the other viewpoints. Okay, you have all the other opinions, all the other perspectives that sort of block our direct view of the Savior. Okay, our parents may have believed one way and maybe took us to a particular church or denomination as we were growing up. Yet we have friends at work that don't go to church at all. They don't even believe in Jesus, and they're very passionate about what they believe. And then we have another friend or a loved one that maybe they say they believe in Jesus, but they don't pursue Jesus. And so we've got all these different perspectives just in the crowd that's around us. Okay, and how do you put all that together and come up with a plan for yourself to truly seek Jesus? The answer is personal experience. Okay, until you have your own understanding where you know that you know, you're going to have some confusion. Because what happens is people that have too many opinions, okay, it can lead to sort of a meltdown of your faith. Okay, with the advent of the internet, people can tune into pretty much any religion in the world. Anything you want to find out about, it's on there, right? Okay, just don't Google it. Okay, any denomination that's out there, you could follow them. Okay, any kind of preaching style, okay, if you like whatever it is, hermeneutics, or you like the line by line out of the Bible, or you like different preaching styles. I see the latest and greatest now is first-person preaching, where you pretend that you are Moses and you tell the story from Moses' perspective. That's the latest. Okay, it's actually interesting, I gotta say that, but it's an interesting way to keep people's attention, but I'm not quite there. Okay, the problem with doing that, when you take in little bits and pieces from lots of different ones, as opposed to plugging into a local church, okay, is that you get so many different sentiments that your faith is actually weakened instead of strengthened. Okay, because now you have maybe two or three different sources, two or three. I'm not saying don't ever listen to stuff, because I do. I have my favorites, and the reason that I listen to them is because I know what I know, and they either confirm it or they stretch me. Okay, and so I'm all perfectly fine with being stretched. I love to learn and grow. Lance Wallnau right now is walking in the prophetic and some of the things that I don't know a whole lot about, and it's stretching me. I'm wanting to learn more, and I'm following along. Other guys are good at that as well. So I'm not saying to not do that. But what I'm saying is that you have to be careful, because if you have two or three different perspectives on what some might consider church doctrines, okay, they're going to be entering into your life where you have now three beliefs, okay, that you kind of want to try to incorporate all three, and it leaves you less confident about what you know without a doubt. Okay, I like to know what I know. Okay, and that is testimony. That is when I can stand up and testify that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from my sin. I can testify of that. I can stand on that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And yet there might be a ministry I could listen to or tune into that is going to be like, you know, yes, you're saved by the blood of Jesus, but you also have to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, and I could listen into that as well and then try to incorporate that, and guess what? I no longer believe solely in the blood of Jesus to cleanse me of my sin anymore. Now I'm adding more ingredients to it. Okay, we've used that expression in our house for many years about the cake. Okay, that Christianity is like a cake mix, and that's why you'll have some that like to add nuts, some that like to add little, you know, walnut chips, and some that like to bake it with two eggs, and some bake it with one egg, and you know, it's all Christianity, but the point is some add ingredients and some leave ingredients out. Okay, well, I know what I know, certain things about God from the Bible, from good solid teaching, Bible-based teaching, and I'm going to want to stand solid on that and not be pulled in all these different directions. Okay, so if I want to tune into absolute best preaching out there, I'll turn into my pastor, because I know where he is at and what he's going to teach. I cannot come up with one thing that he has said. He has challenged me. He has stretched me. He has pulled me in directions that I didn't know anything about. But I've never heard him say one thing that I'm like, I don't think so. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. Because he's a Bible-based preacher. And that's why I say I can tune into him, and I know that he's going to confirm what I believe because he's preaching out of the same Bible. Okay, so those kind of things are going to increase your faith and not dispel it or quench it. Okay, now Zacchaeus sought to rise above the crowd. Okay, he wanted to get to a place where he could see for himself who Jesus was. He knew what he had heard. Okay, but he needed more than hearsay for it to change his life. He needed more than rumors to really get it done. Okay, so he needed his own personal experience to truly confirm what the truth was. Okay, so he determined to put some actual effort into seeking an encounter with Jesus Christ. Okay, now we could learn a lot from that kind of an attitude, putting some effort into a personal encounter with Jesus. So often we say that we want things to be better, and yet we fail to do anything about it. Okay, we say that we would like change in our life, but we go about with the same after same after same. Okay, or maybe we tune into the world to try to gain some knowledge that'll give us peace in this particular area. Okay, or maybe we delve ourselves into our work to sort of drown out some unwanted feelings. Okay, put ourselves in a place where we don't notice that we're feeling uncomfortable or about life anymore. Okay, but what we end up doing is neglecting to put Jesus, okay, neglecting to put church, neglecting to put fellowship, okay, Christian fellowship, worship, the Bible. Okay, we neglect to put any of those on our list of problem solvers. Okay, and we're seeking it somewhere else, or we're just stuffing it, going through life, hoping it'll be different. Okay, Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was going to come by that way. And I want you to get this. There's a spiritual point in this. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was going to come by that way. In other words, he knew where Jesus was going. Okay, we know where Jesus is going. We know deep down what God wants from us. Zacchaeus figured out what route Jesus was most likely to take. If he's on this road through Jericho, he's probably going to stay on it. And then he literally, the Bible says, he ran ahead to find a place where he could rise above the crowd and put himself at the right place at the right time to know Jesus more. Okay, deep down, you know where the solution to many of your problems lies. Okay, you just need to make seeking Jesus a priority in your life. No longer is he a, well, maybe I will. Okay, I'll see how I feel. Or whatever it is. It's a priority. It's top of your list. Okay, the story of Zacchaeus reminds us that Jesus showed up right where he thought he would. He ran ahead to get ahead of Jesus, and Jesus showed up right where he thought he would show up. Okay, it's no mystery that people have more God moments, okay, more true one-on-one experiences with God in church, okay, during the worship, during the sermon, before or after, you know, in the fellowship that takes place in the church. People have more God moments in those places than anywhere else on the planet. Okay, that's part of the reason God created the church. Jesus shows up in the place that is designed for the gathering of his people. Okay, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there will I be in the midst of them. Okay, I'm not telling you something that's not in the Bible. The scriptures tell us that Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus. Now, if you think about it, Zacchaeus could have taken a different approach to get himself closer to Jesus. Okay, he could have gone and maybe laid down in the middle of the road. Okay, he knew Jesus was walking down this road. Rather than climbing up a tree, he could have went and just laid down in the middle of the road, right? And hoped that the crowd would kind of part out around him. And then when Jesus gets up close to him, he could just sit up and say, hi, I wanted to talk to you, right? He could have taken that approach. And that's kind of a funny way to think about it. But yet that is how a lot of people try to get closer to God. Okay, rather than taking themselves up higher, okay, they take themselves down lower. Okay, they make choices that lead to them being stepped on, to being kicked around, to be trampled on, okay, trampled underfoot. And then just before they get to the end of their rope, okay, just before they're, I call it getting ready to meet your maker, they pop up and they say, "Hey, I think it's time I talk to you."
Yeah.
Okay. Waiting till we get to that beat down place before we come back to God. It doesn't have to be that way. Okay, and I know that sounds kind of funny, but that's the way that a lot of people do it. Zacchaeus chose the other approach. Okay, he chose to put effort into rising higher. Okay, it's no secret that Christians are called to live holy lives. Anybody, is that a first time you ever heard that? Okay, we're called to live a righteous life. That God makes us righteous and then we live it out according to what he's done. And our life might not be perfect, especially early on. Okay, but as we grow and we mature and we grow in our faith and we understand God and we begin to know, God says, "Be holy for I am holy." And then he gave you Holy Spirit to do it. Okay, so we're on this track. Okay, to conclude that you want to rise up to a new level of living shouldn't be anything new. Okay, that is part of what God is calling us to. It's not a bad line of thought. Zacchaeus had a preconceived image of Christ that he was related to somehow this God of the heavens. Okay, and even a guy like Zacchaeus would consider the heavens to be the stars, the moon, the sun, at least that, right? So he knew that Jesus' eyes, he thought, would be looking up because he's related to heaven, he's from the God of heaven, whatever. And so he knew that his eyes would be looking up. Okay, and he did. He put himself in a place where he thought the eyes of the Lord would be. Okay, Jesus does have his eyes lifted up when he gets to that tree, and he does see Zacchaeus. And the first thing he says is, "Zacchaeus, quickly, come down from there." Okay? Now there's a reason for that, because that is symbolic of the first thing that the Lord requires of you and I. Okay? Bring yourself down from any lofty, prideful place where you think you can make it without him. Humble yourself. Okay, Jesus will ask you to humble yourself in order to truly meet with him. Okay, he is not interested in you just seeing him from afar off. He could have gave Zacchaeus that kind of an experience, and many people in our planet have that kind of an experience with Jesus. They're still sitting in a tree, and they didn't come down to meet Jesus. They still wanted to curiously look on, but they didn't follow that first requirement, which is to come down from there and meet with me. Okay, and that's what Jesus wants. He wants to physically meet with you and have a relationship with you. Okay, not a drive-by, not a pass-by. Okay, he wants you to literally converse with him. See, Zacchaeus was of little stature, right? Meaning he was pretty short. Okay, he was not a big man in physical size, but I guarantee you, he was a big man in his own eyes. Okay, he was rich. He was the chief. He was the top of his job. Okay, he thought pretty highly of himself. The people that he hung out with probably saw him as a big shot, right? He was the kingpin. Okay, he was the most important person in his line of work. Okay, he was at the top. And so for him to be puffed up in pride was kind of a given. Now, my study Bible I use sometimes has a question and answer section in the back, okay, where they take the hard questions that people ask about God and they come up with a biblical answer and give that in there. In one section where it's talking about the laws of the kingdom of God, one of the questions is, what is the greatest sin in the kingdom? Okay, and as plain as day, the answer is the greatest sin in the kingdom of God is pride. Okay, pride was the fundamental sin of Satan when he first sinned. Okay, I mentioned earlier, God cast him out of heaven. That's why. Okay, pride is what says, I can do it better than God. Okay, or I can do it without God. Okay, Satan thought that he could do a better job of running the universe than God. Pride inevitably then leads to rebellion. okay, by proudly carrying out our own plan for our lives, okay, what we think we need to do and who I am, and I'm making up my own life, I don't need God. Living that way will eventually clash with God's plan for your life, because God requires humility. Okay, that's why the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:5, he says, "Yea, all of you were subject, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." Jesus tells Zacchaeus, "Come down quickly out of that tree, for today I must abide at your house." Okay, now just like Zacchaeus, Jesus wants to come to our house. Okay, all of it. Okay, to see in every room. Okay, and you can bet that Zacchaeus' home environment was probably not the perfect environment for a holy Savior to walk into. Okay, Luke tells us that the crowd was literally shocked by Jesus' request to stay at Zacchaeus' house. It was probably a big house. Okay, he was rich, right? It was probably a nice house, but it was probably full of abominable idols. Okay, things that were not of God. Other false gods and things were probably a huge part of it. Okay, he wasn't living a godly life. And I'm sure that all this happened so fast that Jesus says, "I'd like to come over to your house," that he probably didn't have time to go clean house before Jesus got there. Okay, I remember when I was a brand new Christian, I had just gotten saved, and the pastor called me one day and wanted to know if he could come over to my apartment and just visit for a minute. And I immediately went into panic mode, right? I'm hiding all the ashtrays. I'm taking all the you know, recycling bin that was full of empty beer cans, and I'm stuffing that in a closet. I even went as far as burning incense to try to make the place not smell like alcohol and drugs anymore, okay? Because that was I was just trying to do what I knew to do, okay? But you know what? That pastor came over regardless of what my house looked like or what it smelled like. Okay, and Jesus went over to Zacchaeus' house with all that idolatry still in place. Didn't faze him a bit. And he will come into your house just the way it is too. Okay, it doesn't mean we're going to leave it that way. Guess what? My pastor can come over to my house and I don't have to hide anything anymore. Okay, I didn't stay that way, but I'm saying that in the beginning, that's the way it was. Okay, so as we grow in our faith, that those things begin to change. Okay, Jesus made a point of telling him, "Zacchaeus, today I must abide at your house." Jesus didn't set up an appointment for later in the week. See if he can see the timing in this. He didn't set up a, "Hey, maybe someday we'll get together." Okay, he didn't throw that out there. He knew that the perfect time for Zacchaeus and Jesus to come together and to have that moment was right now. Okay, it's not next week. It's not a year from now. It's time to quit putting it off. Zacchaeus, come down from there because I'm going to your house. Okay, Jesus will meet you right where you are, and he will instantly make time for you if you make time for him. Zacchaeus could have said, "No, I'm quite comfortable. Not ready for that yet." But he knew it was his time. Okay, that's that personal experience. It wasn't going to let Jesus just walk by and think about it anymore. He had already been thinking about it. It's time to do something. He came down from that tree. Okay, the passage in Luke tells us that Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Okay, Jesus wanted to fellowship with him, so he scrambles down out of the tree as fast as he can, and probably with a great big smile on his face, walks arm in arm with his new best friend all the way to his house. Zacchaeus was happy. It was his time. All that crap that he'd been doing, sorry for the language, but he was leaving it behind. He knew something was going to be different. I know he knew that this was the Savior. This is my life. This is everything is going to change. Locks on to Jesus and says, "Let's go to my house. I don't care what happens. I'm with you." Okay, he knew it was going to be okay. People ridiculed, people made fun of Jesus for going over there, but Zacchaeus got his heart changed in a moment, and he stands up and says, "Lord, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor because I don't need all that stuff, and the other, anybody that I've wronged and taken money from, I'm going to give them four times the amount back." Instead of making them poor, he made them wealthy. Okay, he saw it. He knew what he was doing. Zacchaeus' life was changed not just for a lifetime, but it was changed for an eternity. Okay, in their very first encounter together, Jesus could declare, on this day, salvation has come to this house. Okay, he referred to Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham. Okay, knowing that Abraham was known throughout the land as the father of faith. Okay, you know why they called him that? Because he didn't have the Ten Commandments to keep. He was before all that stuff. He believed in God by faith. And he sought the face of God. That's all he knew. He wanted to be closer to God. It wasn't about keeping rules. Some of that would come later on and he would live a good life. But he did it by faith in God, saying, I just want to be where you're at. I just want to see your face. Okay? He didn't focus on keeping commandments. He focused on seeing God's face. And he did it by kneeling at his feet. Okay, now that's the same kind of faith that is going to lead to you having life-changing experiences with God. Okay, it doesn't come by sitting in the tree and not coming down. It doesn't come by thinking about it from a distance. It comes by putting yourself in motion, putting yourself in the right place at the right time to be where God can speak to you, and then following through, saying, it's my time. I hear you speaking to me, Lord. You're calling my name. You're asking me to go with you. And you say, I'm there. I'll do it, whatever it is. And then you follow through and you have your experience with God. Put yourself in the right place at the right time to meet with Jesus. Okay, seek to know more about him. Seek to find out who he is and what he's offered. Okay, what he came to do. Okay, and then prepare for him to come over to your house. Okay, prepare for him to have a one-on-one personal relationship with you from that moment on. That's what we're about. That's what Zacchaeus' faith did in his life. Praise God. Father, we are grateful for you and your scriptures, Lord, showing us things about you and our relationship with you, how we can just put a little effort into it, Lord, and we can seek you. We can let go of the things that might have been holding us back or any of those reasonings that we've come up with on why we can't seek you and get closer to you. Lord, I pray that today we see the need. We desire to go further. We see you as that solution and understand that you are the one that gives us the peace. You're the one that takes away the fears and the anxieties, the sickness, the poverty. You're the one that takes away the sin, the guilt, and condemnation. You're the one that has all that we need, and we can choose to seek you on this day. Lord, we pray. I pray for new experiences for people. I pray that those relationships between you and them are perfectly built, that there's an understanding, a real life experience that takes place in each and every believer's life in this church and beyond, that we understand you, we know who you are, we know what you've come to do, and those things that we don't know that we'll continue seeking, striving for the mastery, seeking more, understanding to know more about those things and allow you then to come into our house, to make those changes, to cause our heart to be different about the things and the matters of life. Lord, we're praising you this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen.